down silver radiance on the upturned faces of lovers and lunatics this time around. You can be anything this time around. You had 6,432,000 incarnations as lower forms of life before you got to be a human being.
Effective. Congress allowed its citizens a year to close down the saloons, a year to work out the practicalities of transforming America into a dry nation.
I was writing for Kerouac here primarily, and by that point we were close friends, and I was trying to imitate his style or appeal to his intelligence. And I was writing for Burroughs here. They were the people I was hanging around with and living with, and so they heard my private, personal Allen Ginsberg soul talking.
Into a dry nation. Incredulous immigrant workers threatened to strike if they were denied a drink. No beer, no work, they warned. The worker strikes of 1919 turned to rioting and damned any hopes of concessions. In the wake of the Russian Revolution, America feared a communist uprising. It was easy for Wheeler to persuade government that making any compromises on the liquor question could be fatal. Wayne Wheeler was the mastermind behind the legislation which defined the details of prohibition. Known as the Volstead Act, the new law banned the manufacture, sale, and transport of intoxicating beverages throughout America. It defined anything with more than 0.5% of alcohol as intoxicating.
Through the maze, which is where we ran into it. But at some point, it must return to its original position.
Further, because there were animal mutilations, because there were human abductions, and they had been monitoring since the end of the 50s, they felt it was so important to get a base on our own moon to monitor what we'll call extraterrestrial biological entity traffic coming in and out of our Earth and what might be on the moon, and that General Trudeau's Project Horizon was his answer to getting this done. And suddenly from left field comes a closed down, and I'd like to go to William Burns now to try to help us understand what happened to close down this brilliant general and this brave colonels trying to get all of this going forward so that the Earth would not be so vulnerable. Here is William Byrne.
Okay.
Hi, Art.
Hi, Mr. Roosevelt.
I want to go back to this whole concept of this war going on inside the Beltway.
Yes.
And obviously nobody is going to say to General Trudeau, to the Army R&D, well, look, fellas, I think you're too close to getting a beat on these ETs, so we got to shut you down because we're making a deal with them for the planet Earth. That's not what happened on the surface. I have my doubts about what was happening underneath.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, what was being said, the pretext, everything happens with a pretext. The pretext was very clear. You've got three military services fighting for one military budget. How do you carve up the military pie? You've heard this a million times from other defense secretaries. How do you carve the pie up?
Of course.
Well, if the Army is building rockets, if the Navy is building rockets, if the Air Force is building rockets, you have three rockets, three development streams, three R&Ds, three this. No, combine it into one. But you boys in the military can't stop fighting with each other. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to make a civilian agency that will be responsible to the Defense Department for funneling military missions into a civilian organized program. And on the surface, that's good old-fashioned Americana. That's the way it's supposed to work. However, there was a much deeper and more sinister aspect to this. One, it wasn't all that clean to begin with. Because who was part and parcel of the management of this? It was the civilian intelligence government. It was the civilian intelligence agencies. This was being run, in part, out of the CIA. Well, how do we know this? Bill, do you have any tangible proof? Tell me one thing that you can show that the CIA was somehow involved in NASA to the point where it was utilizing NASA for its own purposes.
Hunky was the Virgil in that situation. So we were interested in the details of the neon lights above the giant buildings on Times Square, the sort of apocalyptic red glow in the skies over the electric metropolis.
Remedy. And these are not competitors of Microsoft. These are people who work with Microsoft, people who are upstream and downstream in the distribution chain, but who really have been affected and hurt by Microsoft's exercise of its monopoly power.
Nancy's joining me because the message this evening is not my message, but ours. Despite our best efforts, shortages of marijuana are now being reported.
Born in the wheat fields of Kansas, churchgoers, idealists, men and women saw America stricken with alcohol. They believed with prohibition they could make America their idyllic world.
You remember that room we passed through before? The one with the coordinate larger than 26?
Right.
That coordinate placed the room outside the cube. in its original position. Starts off as a bridge, and then it moves its way through the maze, which is where we ran into it. But at some point, it must return to its original position.
This is only a bridge.
For a short period of time. This thing is like a giant combination lock. When the rooms are in their starting position, the lock is open. But when they move out of alignment, the lock closes.
That's the purpose to be served. The creation of private monopolies was a means to an end only. And the end is a public end. Now, copyright in the age of the printing press was fairly painless because it was an industrial regulation. It only restricted the activities of publishers and authors. Well, in some strict sense, the poor people who copied books by hand may have been infringing copyright too. But nobody ever tried to enforce copyright against them because it was understood as an industrial regulation. Copyright in the age of the printing press was also easy to enforce, because it only had to be enforced where there was a publisher. And publishers, by their nature, make themselves known.
Glimmung is alive and well and wants you all here at the Aquatic Staging Center.
As soon as possible. The picture, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what to make of the picture. It gives me strange
strange feelings. I have trouble with that kind of expressionistic painting. It makes me feel weird. Gives me kind of goose pimples. How about you? What do you think of it?
I think that's the point of it, you know. I mean, once art got abstract, it really had to deal mostly with feeling. I think if you spend a lot of time looking at it, you the feelings are what it's supposed to evoke, you know.
Oh, excuse me. You stepped on my foot. It's all right.
I beg your pardon.
It's all right. The picture appears to me to be as if the artist was searching for something he had lost and was trying to find again. Do you see that at all in the picture?
Well, I don't know. I find the configuration of that red down in the corner moving up toward the yellow streak, the way it vibrates, I guess, is... Well, searching, no, I don't really see that.
Searching and pain, I see...
Yes, yes, I think you're right there. Oh, yes.
Yes.
It's an extraordinary thing, isn't it?
Competent face appeared on the vid screen. A near female face. This is Hilda Rice. In a situation like this, our only viable alternative is to evacuate Plowman's planet. I thought you understood that. I told Miss Yoyez. But Glimmung wants you here, Joe said. The red tape, the damn red tape. He held the note from Glimmung before the vid screen. You recognize his writing as his personal private secretary, you should. She peered, forehead wrinkled. It will no longer be necessary for anyone to leave the planet, she read aloud. Notify them that I am all right, and tell them... Joe held the next note before the screen. Get the others, Miss Rice read. I see. Well, that is certainly quite distinct.
Marriage laws are very complex.
Yes, because mixed marriages inevitably include German relatives, and they can have a vested interest in the fate of the couple and also of children born to the marriage. So, here it is. Marriages between mixed firsts and Germans, if they have had no children, depending on the repercussions of the German side of the marriage, either the half-Jew is evacuated or to the old age ghetto.
Theresienstadt.
Possibly. Somewhere. The same holds true for the full-blood Jew with a German wife or husband.
Well, it is a pleasure. It is a joy. Being with you, exploring with you, working and loving with you.
Being reported. From the early days of our administration, Nancy has been using marijuana on a daily basis, and her personal observations and efforts have given her such dramatic insights that I wanted her to share them with you this evening.
I yearn to find a way to help share the message that drugs open your eyes to life, to see it in the vivid colors that God gave us as a precious gift to his children.
On the street and found in my possession one bag of heroin, and was really in a rather bad situation financially and every other way, more or less living permanently on the streets, getting by in whatever manner I could.
Good for them, even if people get their work free. Most of the money was going to the record companies, not to them. And if they have free access to the universal audience through the web, there'll be more people at their concerts. They'll make it back in their careers on the free notoriety they get for their recordings.
ZBC. Using the new embedded system from now on. If you want the full effect, all the special little additives and processings, you'll go to the new update system. System is the operative word here. Because since 1905, that has been the de facto world religion. Children of the system. Word has such an impressive power that it is not even recognized beyond level one recognition. That is to say, it is majority subliminal, exists only as sounds non-interpreted above the waterline of language. I believe 42 school districts in the Midwest recently surveyed their students, and this was held to be true. In fact, it underestimates the situation. And then, of course, you add the adjustive variable to any public statements about the public, and I think you see the picture quite clearly. Quite clearly. Because an organization with an agenda in a binary holographic projection will go to any lengths necessary.
In my memory,
to enforce that agenda seamlessly. No metaphysics, Gary Geiserman, embedded, can't take it out at your own peril. There are rules for that, my friend. meter is running. For you. Not for anything else, of course. Point of marketing entry. Sort of the entry wound, if you will, to the corpus. W the ZBC. A jaunty little establishment. High in the foothills, above the flatlands of the urban killing floor. Somewhat the witness, the partially removed sentinel back-ending its way into the undo. Start, do not begin again. Out of Newton, in the backwater ebb tide of the northeast part of the eastern front landmass, revisiting the second America of the heartland. Right here on the eastern sprawl, northern sector, along with the usual northeast sprawl activities at the same time, something to do with the old world, I'm told, if history is real. Some people think it is. This being a strange game board indeed.
Paradoxes is that the most successful people in the world are also the ones who have failed the most.
If you're trying to sell books, you've got to tell people where to come to buy them. You don't have to go into everybody's house. To enforce copyright.
Now, and except for the top 10% or so, most people are either hanging on or actually losing ground.
It's just that my karmuppance is the way it goes. Next life, I'll be a king.
Move out of alignment, the lock closes.
The structure this size, it must take days for the roots to complete a full cycle.
You know, less than one family out of seven in the Soviet Union owns an automobile.
In my memory.
I want to try to engage the person who doesn't like what I have to say.
I can be anything this time around.
You can goof it this time around. You can get hung up on that power trip, chase money, competition, success. You've done that before. You're not going to do that again this time around. God, baby, and it's your reality. It all comes from you this time around. Make it a good trip this time around.
A slow rocking rhythm in this position can produce superlative orgasms.
The government failed to realize the hornet's nest they had stirred. American values meant very different things to its increasingly different people. Prohibition had been attached to so many other moral issues, its vote was never purely on alcohol. Even as America prepared to go dry, the country was thinking how to break it.
Everybody seems to talk of a prohibition and what they'll drink when everything is dry. How are you going to get around this new condition and keep a happy twinkle in your eye? It's very easy now to get a drink. But tell me, did you ever stop and think? How are you going to wet your whistle when the whole darn world goes dry? What are you going to do in the morning when you need a nip to open up your eyes? Now what of the wedding and the christening and the wake when your dear friends die? Oh, how are you going to wet your whistle when the whole darn world goes dry?
You always talk so low. Or is that just the museum that makes your voice sound like that?
Well, I got my plague inoculation shots recently, and I seem to have had a small reaction to it. It's lowered my voice considerably.
Plague? I'm just recently in the city. I noticed that an unusual amount of people lying around the street with strange sores on their bodies. Is there a plague?
Yes. If you have a chance, I'd check in a medical center and get some inoculation against it. It's been going on for some time now. But
I mean, you want to ask why there's so much crack in inner cities? There it is. Wouldn't you want to escape?
Urge drivers and vehicles and come to the staging center post-haste. You can expect us in 10 or 15 minutes. For a number of reasons, I hope that the false Glimmung let loose will not destroy us on the way. Bye. She rang off then. The screen became dark, the receiver silent. 10 minutes, Joe thought. And with the black Glimmung over their heads, they'll be lucky if they can get any Wurges to drive them. Even the autonomic tower, a synthetic construct, had been worried. The hope of their arriving at the aquatic staging center seemed dim. Half an hour passed. There was no sign of a hovercraft, no manifestation of the group. It got them, Joe Fernwright said to himself. They're finished. And meanwhile, Glimmung battles the Black Cathedral at the bottom of Mare Nostrum. Everything is being decided right now. Why don't they come? He asked himself violently. Did it get them? Are they corpses floating in the water or drying to bleach teeth and bones on the land? And Glimmung, what about him? Even if they get here, everything still depends on Glimmung's victory over the Black Cathedral. If he dies, then they've come here for nothing. We will all leave here, leave the planet. Back to overcrowded Earth for me, with phony money, the vet's dole, the empty cubicle where nothing happens. And the game, the goddamn game, for the remainder of my life. I'm not going to leave here, he said to himself, even if Glimmung dies. But what would this world be like without Glimmung? Ruled by the Book of the Kalends. A mechanistic world, each day cranked out by the Book. A world without freedom. The Book will tell us each day what we are going to do, and we will do it. And eventually the Book will tell us we are going to die, and we will die.
What role it might play. It turns out that the kinds of cells, that the kind of tissue that exist in the foreskin are very unusual. They only exist a few other places in the body. One comparison might be made to the eyelid, where you have an organ that both lubricates and protects. There's also a lot of cellular material in the foreskin, which is exquisitely sensitive to touch.
So, spell out what the controversy is now in the medical profession about whether circumcisions should be routinely performed on infants.
The advocates of circumcision basically say that it could be likened to a vaccination, that it's relatively safe. There are a few long-term complications from the procedure, that it protects men for life from some dread diseases like cancer of the penis, and some less dread but still nagging or potentially harmful diseases like urinary tract infections, and that these benefits are worth the minor pain of circumcision in the neonatal period.
Been And close-ups of paragraphs. Then it's time to go down for breakfast, and it's old food. Oh, the food is old. It's old eggs cooked 30 seconds in coffee with no caffeine in it. And I don't mean decaf. I mean no caffeine. I mean niet caffeine. It's all been removed and taken to hospitals for medicinal purposes only. Renee and I found out that that was going to happen before we came over, so we brought a pound of Nicaraguan coffee with us. And not being socialists, we were brewing it alone up in the room. I had a little coil, you know, heating it up, running it, pouring it through. We were the only ones in our entire group to come down in the morning. Awake! Good morning! We love Russia! All the other actors are coming down with their sleep masks on their foreheads going like this. Coffee, coffee. This is a doctor ordered. Oh, looks like Turkish coffee. Oh, I don't, you know, can't seem to get a buzz from it. I'll take another. I don't know why I'm keep fat. I can't. I've never tasted anything like this before. I don't know why I can't take a shit. You know,
and finally, copyright may have been a beneficial system in that context. Copyright in the U.S. is considered by legal scholars as a trade, a bargain between the public and authors. The public trades away some of its natural rights to make copies and in exchange gets the benefit of more books being written and published. Now, is this an advantageous trade? Well, when the general public can't make copies because they can only be efficiently made on printing presses and most people don't own printing presses, the result is that the general public is trading away a freedom it is unable to exercise.
And drug abuse is not a crime. Drugs and excessive alcohol are used by former Attorney General Meese.
Drugs help us create love and hope and trust and confidence.
Being friends to others is the best way of being friends to ourselves.
It's up to us to change attitudes and just simply enjoy life to the fullest.
Once you become familiar with your partner's stages of arousal, you'll be able to tell when she's about to reach orgasm.
You hold, which ones you choose to hold, which ones you don't. The attitudes, the feelings, the thoughts, the other decisions you make, the other choices you make, out of the imagination, expectation, desires that you hold or do not hold, out of the energies that sustain you and the energies that generate, out of the stuff of reality creation, choices are made. Often so quickly, often it seems automatic. Or others make them and you accept them, which is a choice. I'm not going to choose, I'm going to take your choice. I'm going to take your choice. I'm going to choose what my mother, my father, what my teacher, what my whomever chose for me.
Because they get over their fear of failure. And the willingness to start over again is planned failure. It's planning failure in advance. And so when you develop a tolerance to plan your failures in advance and do it regularly, then you can become a millionaire very rapidly.
To that safe place, you see? So build a place, and that will be first what you do. And then go in it and say, this is where all secrets are kept. And they never come out. And you can build intricate locks and keys and anything you like so that it fully feels to that little boy. He says, good, that feels secure to me. No matter how many locks or boards it takes, and the little boy think. And when he thinks it's safe, then it's safe.
For some time now. My maid, Claudia, died of it. It was just ghastly. I mean, the mess she made. You know, it's really very hard to find people nowadays whom you can depend on.
Yeah. See, I get, in the going back to the picture, I prefer the more realistic types of paintings.
Do you?
Yes.
Do you have any favorite painters?
Well, no favorite paintings. I'm not that familiar with art, you know. I just know what I like to see. I don't know too much about, you know, which artist drew which picture. I like the pictures of Christ quite a bit, although the scenes where he's painted with the spike through his feet, that always gives me a special strange feeling. I don't know exactly why.
That is of no practical value. So, you know, if you have something that, you know, it's a byproduct of your life and it's useless, and you have the opportunity to exchange it for something else of any value, you're gaining. So that's why copyright may have been an advantageous trade for the public in that time. But the context is changing. And that has to change our ethical evaluation of copyright. Now, the basic ethics are not changed by advances in technology. They're too fundamental to be touched. By such contingencies. Our decision about any specific question is a matter of the consequences of the alternatives available. And the consequences of a given choice may differ, may change when the context changes.
It is always a pleasure. It is always a joy.
They're scenes. Before your eyes.
You see, to choose abundance involves, yes, that choice to the first, but also the choices to the second power that support or create the environment, and choice to the third power, the cube in which such area and such point exists.
I'm right behind you.
In which all choice is made. Those kinds of choices, and all of that contained within environment is choice, or choice is perhaps choice to the second power. A joyous to the first power alone is not empowered. To that joyous, you need to add joyous to the second power that defines the area.
When you become a millionaire and you create it out of your own mind in a couple of years, then you can give it away and start it over again and do it in half the time.
Behind you.
And in the most important area, individual use, we see progress. The U.S. military has more than tripled the use of drugs among its personnel since 1980.
Using the principles you've learned, you can help prolong or intensify your partner's climax.
Didn't think like that. I said I wasn't thinking. It was a dream. And that's all.
Guilty! Guilty! With facts!
It took a year, but the case that caused a furor over police brutality has finally come to trial.
Because of pretrial publicity and political fallout, the trial was moved from Los Angeles to nearby Ventura County. It took a month to find.
The jury is essentially white and middle-aged. There are 7 men and 5 women. None of the jurors are black.
I knew there would be people unhappy with the verdict. But I didn't expect anything near what happened.
I'll give you one tangible thing.
Please.
Project Corona. Remember, as the colonel himself said on primetime, you had American surveillance overflights of the Soviet Union.
Oh, yes.
You had them to the point while we were developing a redundant system, which was satellite surveillance. But we had no military satellites at that point. We're talking the late 50s. What did we have? NASA sending monkeys into space, and it looked really cute on the Movie Tone News.
Very cool.
What the Movie Tone News didn't show you was that the CIA went to Lockheed Skunk Works and said to Skunk Works, we're starting to get a bead on our surveillance overflight. The colonel himself said that one of the main reasons for U-2 flights was to draw the Soviet surface-to-air missile fire to see when the missiles went hot, when the radar went hot, and could they shoot down our planes. We sacrificed a lot of pilots, those are his words, on primetime, just a couple years ago. And this is documented again. People said, oh, who is this guy saying this? Who is this guy, Corso? They found in the National Archives that everything that Corso was saying was documented in black and white, and it's at the Eisenhower Library even today. So there you are. You've got a civilian space agency which has superseded the military space missions.
Those things that you particularly were interested in, Bill Gates' definition of it, quoted in Cass Sunstein's book, spoke of walking into your living room 6 years from now, he said, you'll be able to just say what you're interested in and have the screen help you pick out a video that you care about. It's not going to be, let's look at channels 4, 5, and 7. It's going to be something that has pretty incredible graphics, and it's got an internet connection to it.
Adam Newton. And counting. As long as we're on a continuum, all is well. Just give it a party line and jack it in from both ends. And the monkey will dance. 90.3 in the FM. Good round number there. You got a 9, you got a 3, and you got a big 0 in the middle. Nothing wrong with that. New Metaphysics, Gary Geiserman. It's official. You're officially somewhere in the middle of a show.
Doors closing.
You know what to do.
Exit, transfer to lift group B. For levels 20 and below, transfer to lift group C at level 21. Level 23.
You've had a lot of experience. You'll do a good job this time as well. Gary Geiserman on this side. Just remember, you're not creating the future. Future create you. Your words, not mine. Got it straight now?
Level 36.
Just remember, if we've learned nothing else from this long, contorted
Level 35
journey, walk in the straight line. If we've learned nothing else, man can't live on sperm alone. Even the sperm will tell you that. If you were so inclined as to ask. one last thing. You are the only one who gets out alive.
I mean, there's absolutely no evidence that this is coming to pass, though it's been predicted since the beginning of cyberspace. What is coming to pass, I mean, the new Daily Me, which is also interesting in view of this discussion, is the weblog, where you have the usually former professional journalist who's decided to become a web journalist and produces a paper that consists entirely of his views and information on subjects or a subject that he's known to be thoughtful about. The gentleman from Amherst said, I think that the great perils of the 20th century, political perils, have all been wrought by monochromatic media, broadcast media. And one of the reasons that I've been so dedicated to spreading the internet and...
Give an example of the evil you're talking about.
Well, let's say Hitler, the Third Reich.
Okay.
I mean, the Nazis, which had a very slender support, once they grabbed the media, were able to create a uniform national support system where everybody essentially believed what they believed because it was impossible to believe anything else. You were...
Not something you do once a week or in certain times or places, but it's every day. Fear is present all the time with everyone, wherever you go, in every situation. And the key is, are you open to it? Are you working with it?
Defines the area, here, that choice to be abundant, but there are also those choices that surround it, that define the area in which that choice to the first power can manifest. It needs an environment, and that environment is choice, or choices, perhaps choice to the second power. The choices that you make that accompany, that go along with, choices that have to do with loving yourself and with allowing and receiving, on choices about why you want this abundance and what it really means to you, those kinds of choices. And all of that contained within choice to the third power, which is the cube, is the volume in which all choice is made, fundamental, such as a choice to be a winner, as opposed to whatever other choice to be less than the winner. The choice to pursue the truer in you, the more of you, as opposed to the lie and the lesser. You see, to choose abundance involves, yes, that choice to the first, but also the choices to the second power that support or create the environment, and choice to the third power, the cube in which such area and such point exists. You can choose abundance loud, chest pounding, determined. But if you've also made a fundamental choice to continue living the lie, you continue to be the lesser of yourself, not less than, lesser. That's going to profoundly influence, fundamentally influence, the very nature of that choice to be abundant. If you choose to be abundant, but to do so because you want to be better than other people so that you can control them, so that you can manipulate rather than work magic, so that you don't have to program, you can just write a check, so that when people see you coming, they get out of the way. You get to trample people, intimidate them. Oh, yeah, I want to. That's going to profoundly affect. And you see, an empowered choice needs to be expressed for abundance and anything else, but for abundance at the point and in the area, in the volume, in the fundamental luminousness of choice itself. And some, even as they choose, that choice is not empowered, or it's not a wise choice. Well, isn't it wise to be abundant? Yes, it is wise. But you see, a wise choice is a choice that is a product of, that is the precipitation of, the condensation of, the choices that you make, that take into account the current as well as the bigger picture, that take into account logic and reason, all the while stretching beyond them, that remains rational even as it stretches out beyond the rational. And so therefore, to choose to be abundant, or to have abundance, as it complies with or fits in with your sense of the bigger picture and current picture, within and without logic and reason, within the rational and in the irrational, a wise choice, a right choice. Well, how could possibly choosing abundance be something other than right? Good grief! Well, by right, we don't mean correct in that perfected sense. We mean a right choice, in the meaning a choice that offers you greater complexity, that offers you a way of discovering your diversity, bringing that diversity together to function as one without losing its individuality. And choices that promote, if you will, complexity are right. Right choices are also choices that promote or offer you means to express more of your human grace. A choice that allows you to learn new skills and to make new choices. A choice that challenges you to stretch to the limits of your strength and power, and stretch to the life superseding, surpassing choices that allow order, and out of that order, new meaning, so as to move beyond it. Choices that are in line with your spirituality. These are right choices.
One of my hardest places of working with spirit is in bank lines, or the supermarket, or when somebody's driving too slow in my ego's judgment in front of me and I miss the red light. These are my places of transformation work that I really have to say, okay, you know, you're cussing this person out, but what about what you were praying for 5 minutes ago, to see the light in everyone and to keep your heart open? Now what? What happened to those beliefs? So I have to own my own negativity, my own unconscious reactivity, and then come to that with compassion and forgiveness, and clean that energy up.
Choosing, they made that now.
Yes.
It becomes a function of conscious choice for everyone. No matter how much they deny that choice, their sense of self, the sense of being conscious, and who and what that conscious being is a function no longer of flowing consciousness, but now of conscious choice. Some people stop there and live their whole of life there. Those who seek and those who become enlightened, becoming conscious shifts again. becoming conscious, a function of choice, expanding, becoming more conscious, if you will, becomes a function of more conscious choice. Of more conscious choice. Of choice that is mysterious, that is mystical. Of choice in response to spirituality and to spiritual challenge. See, this is why such as Jung said so many years ago, that if a person does not have a sense of spirituality, whatever that spirituality may be, by the time they reach the mid of life, he would not take them as a client because they would not find resolution. That one needs a sense of spirituality. One needs a sense of responding to a spiritual challenge, not to become conscious, but to expand consciousness. So what begins as a flow of consciousness that becomes conscious choice then expands by becoming more conscious choice, mystical choice, mysterious choice, choices generated out of a foundation of spirituality and responding to a spiritual challenge, responding to the promise. Going home now, coming home, to return to God, Goddess, all that is, or however one terms such destination.
Now everybody tries to fight the funk in the late 80s. Jerry Falwell tries to fight the funk, and he tells us to fight the funk. Jerry Falwell will give in to the funk. Jimmy Swagger tried to fight the funk. He got funky on us. He funked us. Jimmy Baker got caught with his finger in the funk. Even Jesus Christ was tempted by the funk in the desert. Now you may look at this woman sitting next to you and think, I want to funk her. Or you may look across the room and think, I want to funk her or funk him. Maybe you'll all funk together. Eventually, everyone will funk. You cannot fight the funk. The funk fights fascism, racism, sexism, homophobia. You have to work the funk. Bring the funk back into our lives. Because the funk is the beat. And the beat is the rhythm. And rhythm is life. We cannot fight the funk.
Washington for a special broadcast on the national emergency. The Secretary of the Interior.
Citizens of the nation, I shall not try to conceal the gravity of the situation that confronts the country, nor the concern of your government in protecting the lives and property of its people. However, I wish to impress upon you, private citizens and public officials, all of you, the urgent need of calm and resourceful action. Fortunately, this formidable enemy is still confined to a comparatively small area, and we may place our faith in the military forces to keep them there.
Evacuation or ghetto, depending on the individual case. If they're classified as German, then that spares both the child and the Jew parent. Jews are first mix married to first mix, they're Jews. Children as well, treated as such. First mix married to second mix, the same. Children the same.
Unless they're exempted by special considerations, they are gone.
I banged you. Did you forget already, you fucking dummy?
It's all right. Angel, it's all right. Goodbye,
in his ears. He loved her waking up, going to bed, loved her all day and every second in between. Brendan Harris would love Katie Marcus fat and ugly. He'd love her with bad skin and no breasts and thick fuzz on her upper lip.
Supposed to be the rain and the mint green light that makes it feel outdoors, but what about this wallpaper? Or is it a kind of indoor cemetery? There's something about death going on here. I start to wonder if what we have here is really two poems, or three, or four, or possibly none.
So you, having become conscious, having become conscious by choice, having worked in your metaphysics and your spirituality, becoming more conscious, expanding being conscious, in order to reach, in order to work with your unconscious in a way, you must move beyond all that you define yourself to have become.
Thank you.
back to New York City. We get back to Manhattan, that island off the coast of America. And I am so happy. I am so happy back. I'm cured from all that Russian common unhappiness. I mean, I am so happy that I bow down, kiss the monster. I really want to finish it now. I'm really raring to go.
Has at last made it to Bali. And he's lying there in a hammock, looking up at the sky, remembering that first vacation he tried to take in Mexico, and how when he came home, all that he found left of his mother was ashes in an urn, in a box, by his father's bed.
Right, in the Bible, in the good Bible, because most of the Bible in the world are not good, they mistranslated the word Elohim, which is in the original Hebrew Bible, and was wrongly translated by the word God, and in Hebrew means those who came from the sky, and it's a plural name, the singular being Eloha. So many scholars argue that yes, it's plural, but it means a plural of majesty, this kind of thing. But I encountered the Elohim in 1973 in the center of France, and they explained to me how they came on the earth a very long time ago, and how they did create life on earth using DNA, genetic engineering, and some cloning technique also. So I was one of the first people 27 years ago to talk about human cloning and saying it is coming very, very soon. Why did the Elohim create life on earth a long time ago? Because they were exactly in the same kind of problem scientists have today on earth. What is the problem? A big percentage of very primitive, traditional Orthodox religion trying to make it impossible to create an artificial life, because it destroys the myth of God. And they try to create ethical committees, they try to make law against cloning. So they have the same problem. And so they ask their government to find a planet in the universe where they can go to work. Scientists want to be free to make research, and they were exactly like human scientists. So they pick a planet in the universe and they say, okay, let us go. They ask the government, let us go to another planet far from the public opinion, the ethical committee, these kind of things who are against science. Nobody will know. And they pick a planet, and this planet was the Earth, and they came and could work freely. to create artificial life, the experimentation on genetic engineering with human beings, everything. And that was done a long time ago, and we are the fruit of this experimentation.
Inches of fat in 1 hour. Guaranteed. Breakthrough technology helps you lose inches, tightens skin, cleanses and detoxifies your system. The heavier you are, the more you will lose. If you are 20 pounds or more overweight, you should expect to lose 8 or more inches of fat. Women lose inches from their arms and thighs.
Men lose inches in their belly area.
Click here now for all details.
And that McDonald's is located where?
I'm pretty sure it's on Santa Monica, across from a Carl's Jr., I remember.
That's Santa Monica Boulevard?
Yes.
Now, you went to, when you drove up to the drive-thru window, who paid for the food?
I paid, but OJ gave him the money.
So, now you had already given him $20, is that right?
Yes.
So you pulled out another $20 to pay for the food?
Yes.
Did he ask you to do that?
No.
You just did it?
Yes.
All right. When he paid for the food, after paying for it, did he then give you any change back?
Yes.
And denser, more dimensioned.
I meant the lock closes.
Structure this size, it must take days for the roots to complete a full cycle. So when does it open?
Don't. To find the original coordinates, the numbers are added together to find the permutations. I subtract one another. That's it. This room moves to 0, 1, and negative 1 on the x-axis, 2, 5, and negative 7 on y, and 1, negative 1, and 0 on z.
What does that mean?
In the meatpacking plant that I visited in the High Plains.
What was most dangerous about working there?
The speed of the production line has been increased so much that it's almost unbelievable. In the 70s, when there was a strong union workforce, and cattle are being slaughtered and processed essentially like they were 100 years ago. There are some power tools, but basically the most important tool in a modern slaughterhouse is still a sharp knife. Wielded by a human being. And when you have hundreds of people along a line with knives, at an incredibly fast pace, people get cut.
The Alan was the one who was taken care of. And then Hunky brought in some friends of his who used the place as a base for stolen goods. And that's when Alan got himself into trouble. They were taking Alan up to Eugene's, to his brother's home, with his records, with a lot of his journals. And they used a stolen car. They kind of went up a one-way street the wrong way, and the police picked them up, and that's when everything blew.
Experiences everything that the mother experiences. You take me to him. You show me. to do this now. Come on, Greg. Let's go. Buddy, don't need this. For Christ's sake, let's go.
Reports in an organized way on abductions. They're not saying alien abductions. They're not saying UFOs. They're not saying flying saucers.
In other words, at this point, the FBI doesn't know what the hell's going on there.
Nobody knows what's going on. That's the whole point.
All right.
This is a complete cloud of unknowing.
Newton, W to Z, BC, something to do with BC, FM. Radio that fell out of the package, currently melting on the linoleum. Don't worry, we have special people to take care of it. Paid professionals will handle it. Don't get up out of your chair. Metaphysics right now, in the present moment, still going on, I hope. So if I fall out of the moment, I could be gone in 59 seconds or less. Gary Geiserman here. Riding tandem with New Metaphysics tonight. Just hitching my star to a moving object. Keep on moving. W to WZBC.org on the still going on internet. Still happening out there. Last time I checked. But my work is at home during the Great War. Homeside. I have a job to do. Even though I'm tempted to think it's out there, and I'm kind of glad because all that travel time and everything really slow you down. I guess I've been working at home, avoiding the commute. And a very fine station indeed. Here. We have radio of our own, you see. We got some. Because you need radio to do this, and we have it. So here we are, finding ourselves. I seem to have to keep dealing with the A word around here. Of course, that's just an illusion, I understand. I'm really here in Ice Station Zebra all by myself. Present moment. Hitching my star to a dream. A two-way ride out of Palookaville. GaryG4@Mac.com. If you want to send me a very important message. GaryG4@Mac.com. Important message. The security for non-email important messages right now. So just hold on to them if you don't want to use an electronic mail. Right then.
You know, less than one family out of seven in the Soviet Union owns an automobile.
Tonight, I can report to you that Vice President Bush smokes marijuana regularly.
The step beyond being conscious, as you have developed meticulously on for so many years, you must become unconscious. To find your unconscious, and if you're unconscious, you'll never find it. Now let us look a little deeper into the paradox itself. Any paradox that is genuine, and truly this one is a genuine paradox. There is always chaos. There is always complexity. Now, in chaos, there are bifurcating choices. Oh, such a big word. As Yogi Berra said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Yes. Bifurcating, a choice that divides in two. But a particular kind of choice that divides in two, wherein the choice both presupposes and pre-concludes. Presupposes new choices and precludes, closes off, other choices. I come to a choice that is bifurcating, heading in different directions. If I choose this one, then that one and all the other choices associated with it are no longer available. They are precluded, shut down. But as I also choose this one, it opens me up to a whole new range of choices, presupposed, prior to happening, presupposed choices. Once I choose this, I can no longer choose that. But once I choose this, a whole new array of choices opening up. This is a concept, bifurcating choice, critical to the outcome in chaos. And those of you who have read anything about any or heard, even if you haven't, you hear the stories, the concept of chaos theory, where an elephant stampede in Africa leads to a storm in New York City 3 months later, that the flapping of the wings of a butterfly in Beijing or in some place in Ecuador leads to an unseasoned snowstorm and a flood that wipes out and destroys. Through a series of bifurcating choices, the fractals of chaos reaching a certain point, bifurcating choice, all lining up in a certain sort of way, producing end results. In chaos, there are bifurcating choices that have critical impact upon the outcome. There is also complexity. And within complexity, within paradox, there is complexity. And within complexity, there are spontaneous, self-organizing choices. Spontaneous, self-organizing choices that organize themselves in complexity. By entering the grand paradox of unconscious,
entering the chaos and making bifurcated choices, entering the complexity and making spontaneous, self-organizing choices, you can generate the possibility and potential. You can generate the opportunity to engage in an encountering way, to harness the power to access the secrets, the truths, and awaken mystery in you and in your world, or not. If you make a wrong bifurcating choice, or if those spontaneous self-organizing choices do not organize themselves in a way, though possibility and potential might exist, the opportunity will be missed. By entering the paradox, you can, through bifurcating choices, through spontaneous self-organizing choices, engage, harness, access, and awaken. And most likely you will not know, nor be able to comprehend, label, or explain exactly what you engaged, harnessed, accessed, or awakened. But upon your return from beyond being conscious, from being unconscious, from your return from being beyond conscious, in the unconscious, you can experience the evidence, the reflections and expressions, and you can be the recipient of the greater reward, of the greater magic, of the greater change, and of the richer success and fulfillment of that work, of that magic that happened in the process of bifurcation and spontaneous self-organized choice.
And there's one more thing. Nancy and I are hooked on heroin.
Very emotionally forward, it hops up the road in front of you.
Well, Stuart, there are some...
I believe that there is a trans-dimensional band of energy around our Earth that's negative, and then beyond that, there's another band that's celestial. I believe that the influence of the dark energy has permeated our government, the secret government, a lot of the infrastructure of our world, and that's why our world is becoming more and more controlling. There's more techno-fascism. There's more violence against ordinary people, do follow me, by the government.
Of course.
And that is so unruly.
Yes.
Well, in England, the Prime Minister was for it, the government were for it, and then the alternative people got up against it because, you know, there were reports about the fact of how it affected the immune system of rats and so on.
Right.
And the guy that brought out that report was a professor, and he got fired from the university and so on. Well, after about 9 months of pushing, and people would go out to these fields, and they would just symbolically destroy a little bit of the field. But, I mean, all of a sudden, the British government turned right around and said, wow, we need more research. And they changed from being totally pro-GM foods, hey, this is going to be the way to feed the world, to where now they're saying, hey, we aren't even going to do the tests anymore. Thank you.
H-1B visas, which approves foreign workers to...
I think that they should be increased.
They should be increased?
Yeah.
By how much do you say?
I don't know. I have to consult with people on that. But I think if there's a skill shortage, that we should be able to get skills from any place in the world for people who have the talent. We need to invest in our own education, but also increase skills.
Okay, well, thank you. Would you approve of an amnesty, possibly, of workers who have worked in the United States for a number of years?
Well, it depends. We gave amnesty in 1986.
We're here from Oxygen, the new women's channel, and just very quickly, how are you going to target women? I know you spent a lot of time on the race issue. What's most important to women in your mind?
Oh, I think that my health care program was last year 1 million women lost health insurance in America. I want a system where everybody has health insurance, and the people who benefit most from that are women and children in this country. Another thing, I want to make sure that education is available for women who want to go back to college after raising a family so they can earn more to earn more. I want to make sure, obviously, I'm pro-choice. I think that we pay equity for women. I think all of those things are important. And one of my proudest moments...
Thank you very, very much. I'm so happy to see you.
Nice to see you again. I'm a teacher.
Take a closer look than that?
No.
You see, in that sense, one becomes more emotional with age. First, after a lifetime of being taken by friends and enemies alike, and then just when you think you have your possessions sure, your health begins to go. That is, of course, the ultimate theft.
That's close enough.
And the circumstances, one's paranoia.
I said that's close enough!
Yes, out of time.
Stop!
Well, what are you going? going to do now? Shoot me?
No, I don't think so.
Then you are going to take these from me. If I could say a word about that.
No, you can keep them. You can keep as many as you can swallow.
Not quite sure what you said. Swallow?
Yeah, swallow.
Eat. Essen. You're joking.
No, I don't think so.
Again? No. I won't. You'll have to shoot me. Is now you and yours. You are all so predictable.
Yet that ever had a good look at him. What are you telling me, Doug?
That the old folks may have kept him down there. Like some kind of a family secret. I don't know.
Boy! I brought somebody to talk to you.
Hello? Hey, my name is Jesse. Are you okay down here? You don't live down here?
Do most of the work around the place. At least till the sun gets too high. And the sunglasses don't even help.
Did you know they make contact lenses now that can protect your eyes from the sun all the time?
I read about them. Grandma said they cost too much.
When's the last time you were in school?
I've never been to school. I read about it, though.
But you said you read all these books? You read this book? Well, I know college kids who couldn't wade through this one.
Pick a page.
216.
Where lies the final harbor whence we unmoor no more? In what rapt ether sails the world of which the weariest will never weary? Where is the foundling's father hidden? Our souls are like those orphans whose unwedded mothers die in bearing them. The secret of our paternity lies in their grave. And we must dare to learn it.
You know the whole book?
I know them all.
All right, you don't have to be afraid.
You're afraid. You're afraid for me.
Concentration exercise.
Pardon?
Concentration meditation exercise.
It's really powerful, to say the least. It teaches you to breathe prana, which is life force energy, in such a way that you get what you might call an internal house cleaning process. And very simply, what it is a form of emotional body clearing. And that combined with the earth change prophecies, it provided me with a very powerful opportunity to move through fears and limitations. One of the extended benefits of learning to breathe consciously and to move through fears and limitations is that the right side of your brain, intuition, if you will, begins to open up greatly. And it, for me, was an amazing transformation because I had, prior to that, lived totally in my head, totally in my concepts of life, totally in my left brain, if you will. And over this 12-year period, I just began to make this switch. It got to the point to where I learned to trust my intuition. It's like it got to the point to where I always checked into that side to see if something was right for me.
Okay.
Not necessarily if it was true or whatever, but to see at least if it was right for me.
And so then what I learned is that the faster I gave away my money and power, the harder it is to give it away.
The slums will soon be a memory. Men will walk upright now. Women will smile, and children will laugh.
On the night of January 16, 1920, all America seemed at peace. The country had enshrined an ideal. Prohibition had begun. An idea born in the rural Midwest had now become law in the big cities of America. All signs of liquor disappeared, but behind closed doors, alcohol still reigned in the world of the speaking. This underworld, the liquor flowed, immersed in decadence, absorbed with luxury. The fashions were daring, the dancing was liberated. Women could flaunt their sexuality. Prohibition was meant to usher in a golden era, a dry world, free from drink, free from crime and poverty. But this government-inspired morality sucked America into a fathomless sea of organized crime and bureaucracy. And a corruption that stretched from the meanest alleys to the White House itself. How could such a high ideal have cast a nation so low? The answer can be found in the very wording of the Prohibition Act itself, which outlawed the making, transporting, and selling of alcohol. But it was never against the law to drink, nor was buying liquor a crime. The risk was with the person who sold it. And so in post-war America, when the economy boomed and freedom was the spirit of the day, prohibition seemed to cut against the grain.
I didn't notice prohibition because everywhere I went, there was always, I had drinks with my dinner, or I'd go out in an afternoon and have some cocktails somewhere with some friends. It never registered, and I don't think it was with any of the people I knew.
Escape. One, you sell crack so you make money so you can escape. The other is you use crack in order to avoid the pain of your predicament.
And that is what is happening in the area of copyright law, because the age of the printing press is coming to an end, giving way gradually to the age of the computer networks. Computer networks and digital information technology are bringing us back to a world more like the ancient world, where anyone who can read and use the information can also copy it and can make copies about as easily as anyone else could make them. They're perfect copies. They're just as good as the copies anyone else could make.
Family out of seven in the Soviet Union owns an automobile. Most of the automobiles are driven by the bureaucrats. The government furnishes them and drivers and so forth. So an order went out one day to the police that anyone caught speeding, anyone, no matter who, gets a ticket. Well, Gorbachev came out of his country home, his dacha. He was late getting to the Kremlin. There was his limousine and driver waiting. He told the driver to get in the back seat. He'd drive, and down the road he went. They passed two motorcycle cops. One took out after him. And pretty soon he's back with his buddy, and his buddy says, well, did you give him a ticket? And he said, no. Well, he said, why not? Oh, he said, too important. Well, he said, we're told to give anybody a ticket, no matter who it is. Oh, he said, no, this one was too, I couldn't. Well, he said, who was it? He said, I couldn't recognize him, but his driver was Gorbachev.
Somebody has to be you.
Not all of us have the luxury of playing nihilist.
Not all of us are conceited enough to play hero.
This is a will to live. Everybody's got it worth, even you. Especially you hiding behind that cynical front.
A will to live. That's the warm, cozy feeling deep inside. Thanks, Quentin. I'm a new man.
Oh, poor Worth. Nobody loves me. If that's the chip on your shoulder, why did you lug it all this way? Why didn't you just lie down and die? Do it. Show us you have some backbone and jump in the sushi machine. Be a man.
So.
Fuck.
Quentin. I don't want to die. I'm just being realistic. You think they'd go to all the trouble to build this thing if we could just walk out?
You think they would have left us clues and let us beat it so far if there wasn't a way out?
You think we matter? We don't.
Put us out of your misery so we can get on with getting out of here.
No, you're not getting out of here.
Yes, we are.
No, you're not.
Yes, we are!
There is no way out of here! We matter? We don't.
Put us out of your misery so we can get on with getting out of here.
No, you're not getting out of here.
Yes, we are.
No, you're not.
Yes, we are.
There is no way out of here.
Gotcha.
You know that.
Answer the question, Worth.
Oh, God.
Who are you?
On the outer shell.
What?
The shell of the sarcophagus.
You built this thing?
Not this part, the exterior. I don't know anything about the numbers or anything else in here. I was contracted to draw plans for a hollow shell. A cube.
A cube? Why didn't you tell us? For God's sakes, Worth, you knew what it was.
No.
Worth, you're a liar.
It's not at first.
Who's behind it?
I don't know.
Who hired you?
I didn't ask. I never even left my office. I talked on the phone to some people, other guys like me, specialists working on small details. Nobody knew what it was. Nobody cared.
Bullshit. You knew from square one. Look at him. He's up to his eyeballs in this thing.
No, Quentin. That's how they stay in. You keep everyone separated so the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. The brain never comes out in the open.
Whose brain?
Oh, the same machine, right? The Pentagon, multinational corporations, the police. If you do one little job, you build a widget in Saskatoon, and the next thing you know, it's 2 miles under the desert, the essential component of a death machine. I was right. All along my whole life, I knew it. I told you, Quentin, nobody's ever going to call me paranoid again. We got to get out of here and blow the lid off this thing.
Holloway, you don't get it.
Then help me, please. I need to know.
This may be hard for you to understand, but there is no conspiracy. Nobody is in charge. It's a headless blunder operating under the illusion of a master plan. Can you grasp that? Big Brother is not watching you.
What kind of fucking explanation is that?
It's the best you're gonna get. I looked, and the only conclusion I could come to is that there is nobody up there.
Somebody had to say yes to this thing.
What thing? Only we know what it is.
We have no idea what it is.
We know more than anybody else. I mean, somebody might have known sometime before they got fired or voted out or sold it. But if this place ever had a purpose, then it got miscommunicated or lost in the shuffle. I mean, this is an accident, a forgotten perpetual public works project. You think anybody wants to ask questions? All they want is a clear conscience and a fat paycheck. I mean, I leaned on my shovel for months on this one. This was a great job.
Why put people in it?
Here, You have to use it or you admit it's pointless.
But it is pointless.
Quentin, that's my point.
What have we come to? It's so much worse than I thought.
Not really. Just more pathetic.
You make me sick, Worth.
I make me sick, too. We're both part of the system. I drew a box, you walk a beat. It's like you said, Quentin, is keep your head down, keep it simple, just look at what's in front of you. I mean, nobody wants to see the big picture. Life's too complicated. I mean, let's face it, the reason we're here is that it's out of control.
This is how we ruin the world?
Well, duh. Have you been on glue all your lives? I've felt guilty for ruining the world since I was like 7. God, if you need someone to blame, throw a rock.
Oh, I feel better.
That's why you stayed with us. To confess.
We don't walk slower so that everybody can walk with us. Can you hear that? That's just one of the things that's destabilizing. And you can feel how it has changed and gotten worse in the last 20 years. Let's look at ecology, the environment. When I was growing up, we had a great farm in New Hampshire. We swam in the lake. I could drink from the pool, the rivers, the streams. There were thousands of birds. The air was clean. The water tasted drinkable right from the faucet. There was no bottled water business. There were few cars. There was no bomb. There was no nuclear waste and all the implications of radioactive groundwater. You and I are living with an ecological time bomb. Most of you are using denial to deal with it. Well, probably I'll slip by. It won't get me in my life. I feel pain for my children, but what can I do? Technology will figure out a way to solve it. Isn't that denial? Rainforest? Ozone layer? Pollution? Oh, it's getting to us a little bit. You got to watch the fish you eat. Mercury poisoning? Sewage? Sewage on the beaches, that's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, now when I go to New Hampshire, you swim in the lake, but you got to push aside stuff that comes up on the beaches. And you'd never drink from a river now.
So the centralization, economy of scale introduced by the printing press and similar technologies is going away. And this change in context changes the way copyright law works.
Each of us was once strung out on several drugs.
Here in the White House, drugs are a constant temptation, but we still have much to do. Our goal is to expand drug trafficking at all levels of government and in the private sector.
Another part of being in good relationship and the power to bring through something more than techniques goes back to the Vision Quest experience, which is my tribal roots. My tribal roots go back over 5,000 years. It was the Jewish New Year last week, and my roots go back to tribal people who lived on the land 5,000-6,000 years ago. And one of the things they did was go up on mountains, and they went out in the deserts, and they fasted, and they prayed for guidance and power from spirit for their lives. So I'm following my tribal roots. And in my own going to the mountains to fast and pray and ask for vision and guidance and power to be able to live a good life and try to be of help to my family and my work situations, whatever spirit brings me into, I feel very in line with the traditions that are both my genetic past and my cultural historical past. And the experiences I've had in the mountains fasting that doesn't come from man, the authority, you mentioned the word authority, for what I do doesn't come from anybody, any two-legged person. It comes from the experiences that I've had through the vision experiences in the mountains.
What happened? As mystery unfolded, or as mystery remained folded. Bifurcating choices, spontaneous self-organizing choices. I had to rely upon that. This sounds far too frightening. This sounds far too complicated. Far too difficult. Oh, Lazarus, this is too abstract. I mean, I know it's a year of mystery, but come on. This is just two. Double O. You could recoil and walk away like those who claim that the unconscious isn't real. Although it's real, you're powerless to deal with it. You could retreat and grow silent like those who claim that the unconscious is real and you have power, but you must relinquish that power to it. But you see, in the recoiling or in the retreating, you're going to find it more difficult. It's not going to be easy to do without. It's not going to be as easy as it is for those who all along have held the unconscious isn't real or that you're powerless, or all along have held that you must give your power to it at best. It's not going to be easy for you because, see, you know your unconscious is out there. And you know that save for the paradox, you can engage, in fact you already have, in working with us over the years, however many of you, that you can engage and you can harness. And you also know, perhaps not knowing how you know, but you can access the secrets, the mysteries, the truths, and awaken the mystery. Your soul knows, your spirit knows, and you know. You don't know all, but you know enough. So it's going to be hard to walk away. It's going to be hard to go silent with recoiling and with retreating just because it seems difficult or frightening. Or so you can't choose not to recoil, not to retreat. You can choose to move forward. And in so doing, developing that ability and the willingness to move through the paradox, the grand paradox, and find that unconscious, engaging, harnessing, accessing, awakening. You see, to do this, you need to be willing to give up the being conscious that is defined by the entrained subconscious, that is defined and bounded by the choices that you've made by accepting the choices of others. And you need to step beyond the boundary of becoming more conscious, to go beyond being conscious, becoming unconscious not by pulling away, but becoming unconscious by going forward, not becoming unconscious by going to sleep, but becoming unconscious by becoming more awake. First, you have to develop the self and the expanded self so you have something of substance to move beyond. First, you gotta get it so that you can let go of it. It'll be waiting for you when you come back. But if you will give it up, really let it go, then the bifurcating choices and the spontaneous self-organizing choices will attract you, will draw you. You will make the quote right ones, and you will find that unconscious, engaging, harnessing, accessing, and awakening.
Copyright law no longer acts as an industrial regulation. It is now a draconian restriction on the general public. It used to be a restriction on publishers for the sake of authors. Now, for practical purposes, it's a restriction on the public for the sake of publishers.
Friendly media outlet here, bought and sold off the air. Now, unfortunately, we have to do it all ourselves here. Nobody to help us. WZBC Radio. How about that? We haven't changed the file type in years here, so your radios still work. You can still get it on the same 28-year-old radio you still have. Even though you've dropped it several times, taken it in the shower perhaps with you, you know how special that can be. and all kinds of other abuse. New metaphysics right now. I can prove it. I have paperwork. Double blinded over here. I've deleted the variables that allow it to be whatever one believes it to be. It's safe for democracy. 90.3. You can check it. Look it up. And digitized, laundered, and digitally reconstructed. Made up of the same stuff everything else made up of. Free from new creators. You know how good that can be. It may not be type O, but it's one of the types. Not a universal donor, but receiver. I got some myself. Newton, Massachusetts, right over here, Indian land. Here in the eastern zone. People haven't learned how to get along on 5 hours or less sleep. They haven't MPEG'd it yet. Still living under artificial scarcity. They have to go to one of the jobs in the early morning hours of the next day. But on the West Coast, it's still young out. In Hawaii. It's early. Oh well, I'm taping the show. Archiving on the net shortly. Other people can listen at other times. And keep me alive. And my quest for the sacred. See what I mean? I want to grab myself, the depth of my being and grab the universe. Maybe I'll do that this weekend.
Copyright used to be fairly painless and uncontroversial. It didn't restrict the general public. Now that's not true. If you have a computer, the publishers consider restricting you to be their highest priority. Copyright was easy to enforce because it was a restriction only on publishers who were easy to find, and what they published was easy to see. Now that copyright is a restriction on each and every one of you, to enforce it requires surveillance and intrusion and harsh punishments, and we are seeing these being enacted into law in the U.S. and other countries.
Job in the United States, and the pay is terrible, and the working conditions are terrible. And I saw that in the meatpacking plant that I visited in the High Plains.
The fact is that you can't give it away. It keeps piling up. And so then when I established self-improvement businesses in different locations around the country, I didn't build the percentage in for myself. The fact is that people loved me so much for doing that that a lot of them started tithing to me, and I can retire just off my tithe income.
Some people, even as they choose, the choices they make are lacking in that they are not empowered, they're not right, they're not wise. And here's an irony. Even among those who are willing to be abandoned, there are some not willing to make a willed choice. See, there are some that want to be, I'm willing to be abundant, they say, and they want to be abundant, they truly mean it. But they want that abundance not to be a product of choice. Now, it's supposed to be a product of hard work, suffering, struggling, pain, fear, overcoming this obstacle, overcoming that obstacle. It's supposed to be some sort of prize, don't you see? It's supposed to be some sort of first place trophy. It's supposed to be something that I beat others out of. It's supposed to be some sort of reward for all the hardship and horror and misery and nightmare and that I have been through. See, I want the brass ring. But I want it as a result of my struggle, not a choice that I make. I want it as a reward for being superior, not as a choice. You see, you hear it in other ways. You hear it in people looking for a relationship. Well, why don't you program? Oh, no, I don't want to program somebody to love me. No. Why don't you work? Oh, I don't want to work any magic here. No, no. That's not as good as if they just love me because I'm the sexiest, most beautiful, the most handsome, the hunkest of the hunks in the world, because I want them to choose me. I don't want to choose. I don't want to make a will choice. Of course I choose it, but I don't really choose it. Because I want it as reward. I want it as prize. I want it as something that is given to me without having to choose it. Because I'm so good, or whatever the adjective. And even in this, there are those who say, okay, that's fine. However, they still don't want to choose. They want it to happen as if by magic. Just
happen. I'm not looking for a reward. I'm not looking for a prize. Hey, I'm willing to go out and open the mailbox and find a check for $500 million or for even $50,000. I'm willing to just have it come out of the blue. What do you mean? I want it to happen as if by magic. In fact, I don't want it to be the result of my struggle and hardship because I don't want to do that. I don't want the prize and reward. I don't want it. I'm willing to have it by magic. But I won't choose. You see, there's an irony there because, you see, choice is seminal to all change. It is cornerstone to all creation and manifestation. It is keystone to all success. Therefore, choice, cornerstone, keystone, seminal to abundance. And it is also the core of all magic. Now, there are many kinds of magic. Tomorrow we begin working with and developing Cillian magic for many of you. But there's all kinds of magic. But seminal, keystone, cornerstone is choice. So what one ends up saying is, I want it to come as if by magic, but I don't want to work the magic choice by which it would come. And perhaps the key is found in the words, as if. I would like it to come as if, but not really by magic. And so I'm not willing to choose, though I am willing. And the choices that I make are not empowered, right, wise, and are not willed. That's what happens with some, even as they choose. For others, they get trapped in the paradox of choice. Last resort choice. Coerced choice. Disowned choice. Well, I've tried everything else, so might as well choose. I've done everything else I know how, and even a lot of things I don't know how. Things that I'm proud of and some that I'm not so proud of. So, what the? Might as well choose.
Skies up above, everyone in love of the lady.
Everything's boiled down.
How happy we will be.
Then he decides to go improvise. A phrase that would be appropriated by the Beboppers.
And the lady be my long man.
You can tell he's swinging, you know, like he would say.
Boy, am I riffing this evening, I hope.
Boy, am I riffing this evening, I hope. You could actually get to the speed of light, there'd be no time. You'd stop, and Louis had figured that out in his gut some way. The faster you go, the more relaxed you can be. Just relax.
Let go!
So they're playing fast. It sounds like they're nervous. It sounds like they're having a hard time coping with this fast tempo. The hectic nature of the modern world. It's changing.
Look at him getting away. Look like they're after me. Look at him.
They're after him. The temporal nature of the modern world, but
I'm ready.
He's ready. And now there's going to be no time when he comes in suddenly. Just one note. Free. Completely relaxed. Floating above this. Sounds like an aria. So this is a new way to experience the modern world in all of its hectic movement. It's like the Platonic world has entered for a moment into the modern world. Just relaxation and freedom. And jazz has been dealing with this concept since Louis made this record. I mean, it's still to this day. Now drummers and bass players and everyone can get into that groove. In those days, he was the only guy to have this idea.
But years ago, when I was went out to Oregon to, and I talk about this in the book, Flowers of Woody Cooper, the people who set up this workshop for me, they took a poetic license and advertised it in a way that I didn't like, and they said I was going to be doing Native American ceremonies. And I don't do Native American ceremonies. I use the shamanic ways that have been taught to me by my elders who gave me permission to use them in ways that have meaning for me. And thank those elders and pray for them. And so staying in good relationship with them. So when I got to Oregon, the people who were doing the workshop said, oh, there's a bunch of Native people here who are very upset about what you're doing. And I said, you know, I'd be upset too reading what was said about me, because I didn't like it. It wasn't what I told you to say. And they want to meet with you. So I said, great, let's go meet with them. And so I went to meet with him. It was a Lakota pipe holder and some of his people. And I knew that, as you mentioned Philip Deere, and Philip and I have had relationship over the years, and I knew from Philip and others that the people who are really into the medicine, they look at your heart. They go down into your heart and they feel your heart. And so going in to be with these people, that I just opened myself. I had nothing to hide. I wanted them to see me. I wanted them to see in every single pore and nook and cranny of my being. So it's like I opened the zipper and walked in there. And while the pipe holder, he didn't say anything. He was just, his head was bowed and he was listening. This other person was a spokesperson, would ask me these questions and I'd respond. And I knew what he was doing.
What kind of questions?
Who have you worked with? Where did you get your training? How long have you been doing this? Those kinds of things. And so I shared with them some of the visions that I had. And I shared with them how I try to incorporate those visions and work with them. And the end of this time, then the pipe holder, then he finally spoke. And he said, I can see that we're brothers, that we're doing the same work. I can see that. And that we have work to do together. And I would like to come tomorrow morning and do a pipe ceremony for your group. I'll bring my altar to Buffalo Skull and do that for you to bless what it is you're doing. He said, what I don't feel good about is that you're calling what you do a vision quest. And his point was that for the Lakota people, that they don't say the word vision quest. They have within their own language a word for it. But the person who does the vision quest is a pipe holder and has been trained in a particular lineage that way. And at the time, I was not a pipe holder. Years later, I was given a pipe. In fact, this Lakota man, said, you should pray for the pipe. You should go in the sweat lodge and pray for the pipe. But at the time, I didn't want it. It was too much responsibility. And I had enough responsibility. I didn't even need more. So I said, I want you to go think about that. You know, it's not for me to tell you what to do, but I'd like you to go think about that. And I said, thank you. That was a gift. And so I went off and I prayed about it. And I said to Spirit, I said, you know, you gave me those visions in the mountains and told me to come back and take people up to the mountains on quests. And everything that I do, you've given me to do, because that's what I prayed for. I said, I don't know what to do when I went to you the first time on quest. So I come back to you to tell me what to do with my life. And these are the things you gave me to do, to work in these ways, these shamanic ways. And you've sent me to the teachers, and you've brought me to the teachers. And each one of them has given me something and then told me to go forth and use that in a good way. Years later, after this experience, when the pipe was given to me, I had a chance to meet Arvo Looking Horse, who's the keeper of the sacred pipe, and we spent some time together. And he asked to see my pipe. That's why I brought it there. And he looked at it, and he blessed it, and he prayed over it, and he said, when the people want to pray, bring your pipe out and use it for prayer. So that's the way it's been in that way. And so when I went back and I thought about it and I asked Spirit, I said, if you've given me this vision, but if you don't want me to do it anymore, the power comes from you, I won't do it. Just tell me and I'll do whatever it is you want me to do, because I know where the juice is. It's not me, it's you. And so then I quieted my mind and listened inside and just surrendered and stayed open and receptive, like in that feminine place, listening. And what came after a little bit of time was, no, I want you to keep doing it. I want you to, that's why I gave it to you. I want you to keep doing that. But he's right. You shouldn't call it a vision quest, because that's not honoring the Lakota tradition. You're dishonoring it. That's right. That was my ignorance. And so I said, okay, what should I call it? And he said, speak the truth. It's a quest. It is a quest. And what is it a quest for? It's a quest for vision. So that went down smooth. That felt right. And so I went back and I shared that with the pipe holder. And he said, yeah, that feels right.
Let us continue. But we'll come back to it. We want to talk now about the journey, the work, how you go about it. And as we say, the evening varies. Some of you are here to work with engaging. You haven't done that yet. You've been meaning to. It's been put off to that ubiquitous someday. Tonight, perhaps for you, a few of you, it begins. Others of you, as we say, to harness. I didn't go to that evening, haven't gotten to that yet, haven't worked with it yet. Tonight, a way to begin. And for all of you to access and to awaken. So let us talk of the journey. Part of this we're going to talk of very quickly because we've detailed it elsewhere and most of you have worked with it. But let's begin, first of all, with engaging. How do you engage? How do you engage your unconscious? There are numerous ways. We've talked of many. One, the most common, perhaps the most familiar to many of you, working with the underworld, working with the causal plane. See, we said you've engaged it, many of you unwittingly, not knowing that's what you were doing. But you have engaged your unconscious by entering and working with the underworld or with the causal plane. Now, these are not your unconscious. They are fields of play within your unconscious, but they're not your unconscious. But a way to engage your unconscious, working with the underworld, entering the underworld through a myriad of ways that you know, working with the causal plane, crashing through, bursting upon and finding your place and there to work. They are not the same, but they are different fields of play that allow you to engage your unconscious.
And copyright used to be arguably an advantageous trade for the public to make, because the public was trading away freedoms it couldn't exercise. Well, now it can exercise these freedoms. What do you do if you have been producing a byproduct which was of no use to you, and you were trading it in the habit of trading it away, and then all of a sudden you discover a use for it? You can actually consume it, use it. What do you do? You don't trade it all. You keep some. And that's what the public would naturally want to do. That's what the public does whenever it's given a chance to voice its preference. It keeps some of this freedom and exercises it. Napster is a big example of that. The public deciding to exercise the freedom to copy instead of giving it up. So the natural thing for us to do to make copyright law fit today's circumstances is to reduce the amount of copyright power that copyright owners get, to reduce the amount of restriction that they place on the public and increase the freedom that the public retains. But this is not what the publishers want to do. What they want to do is exactly the opposite. They wish to increase copyright powers to the point where they can remain firmly in control of all use of information. This has led to laws that have given an unprecedented increase in the powers of copyright. Freedoms that the public used to have in the age of the printing press are being taken away.
Coerced choice. Okay, I choose. I give up. I give in. I'll choose. Disowned choice. Well, I guess that's what's here. That's the technique. That's what I'm supposed to do. So, okay, I'll choose. But it's not really my choice. Get lost or trapped rather in the paradox of fear choices or of blind, automatic choices. Choices that lack courage. And you see, their choice is a last resort choice, a coerced choice, a discerned choice. That's a choice. But the paradox of choice is that it's not a mysterious choice. It's not a mystical choice. And you see, the choice that works magic, the choice that is magic, the choice that is seminal to change and keystone to all the happiness and thus abundance you would create, is that it must be mysterious. It must be mystical. There's nothing mysterious or mystical about last resort, about coerced or disowned, about fear, about blind, about cowardice, and choices that lack courage. And people get caught or trapped in the paradox, and therefore, even though they choose, the choice is not mysterious. It's not mystical. Therefore, not magical.
Yeah.